You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Howdy.
We are coming to you live through the new equipment. Gary is you're so hilarious to watch. When you have an idea, you're like, I don't know how to describe it, but when you get an idea for something you think will be good or funny, you're just giddy with yourself. You're just giddy. Like this is the second shot at recording this podcast, because when we started it, there's a thing. Gary has to push a button for me to talk. He has to cue me and he has to push a button. And then he got so excited about what he was going to talk about that he totally forgot. He's just, you can see him over there just stewing, like, oh, this is going to be so great. I'm going to do this thing.
And I was totally in my own head.
Yes.
And forgot to push the button. Like the intro music ended and it was just silence. And you're like, hello.
Hello. Meanwhile, you're like, oh, this is going to be so good. What? Are we, what? What are we doing? This is going to be good.
Hey, oh. As any woman I've ever dated, and my wife will also attest, is like, I cannot think about or do more than one thing at the same time.
That's right. You're not a multitasker.
I'm terrible. Like, I am an unstoppable force of creativity and accomplishment if I have like a list of stuff to work off of, and it's like, do one thing at a time.
Yeah, I don't like to multitask. Multitasking scares me. I get irritable. If I'm doing work and I've got these three things I'm trying to get done, and then there's a phone call, and then my wife walks in and says, "Don't forget," suddenly I start to get scared.
Yeah, I get overwhelmed
because
cranky.
I know I'm scared to death I'm going to miss something.
Right. Absolutely.
So I'm like, no, I need to make a list and work from the list, and then I know it's done.
I get overwhelmed like crazy. And the thing that I use in my day-to-day is I use the app Wunderlist. Have you used it? I mean, there are tons of productivity apps. There's a Wunderlist I like. Julie and I use it back and forth. So I can look at my list, and I'll just check things off as I do them. Gives really satisfying.
Right. Like, oh, it's very satisfying.
But here's the thing: the only problem is I just got to focus long enough to put stuff on the list. And
right. Well, that's why I have the boogie board that I keep sitting next to me all the time. As I just
an actual full sized O'Neill boogie board from 1989, yeah, made out of styrofoam.
For you non surfers, don't know that's a surfboard he's talking about. No, but because you can just jot notes down on it and then just cross them out.
Okay,
and
so
the board.
It's like a little electronic notepad.
Right. It's called a boogie board. And it's like a black board that you can just write on it, and it shows up, and then you hit a button, and it clears itself automatically.
And
so it's a great scratch pad.
It's just like a notepad. There's like a reusable electronic sheet of paper, but does it have an ability to like send stuff to your computer?
And actually,
phone?
This one doesn't, but they make one that, yes, if you hit record, then everything you write actually gets saved to your computer as well.
Huh, that's pretty
but
cool.
I don't use that one, because if it's important enough to save, I just put it in Evernote. This is just for quick notes, or somebody calls, or I have a thought, I can just quickly jot it down. But here's the thing that's cool about it. It comes with a stylus that you have to write on it with. But you don't have to use a stylus. You can use something else. And what works really great is the pen from a Wacom tablet. So if you are editing with your Wacom tablet and you've got your pen in your hand, and then you think of something, you just reach over to the board sitting next to your desk and you write down the note.
Double duty.
Yeah, and you go right back to work.
You're very green. I admire that about you.
Yeah, and you don't waste paper.
That's excellent.
That's very cool. And because you have to erase the whole board at once, anything you write on this board, you must deal with before the start of the next day, because you got to clear it for the next day. So you can't walk away from your desk without making sure that you've done.
Dude, that's
pretty
cool. They are not sponsoring us, by the way, the boogie board.
No, they're
people,
not sponsoring.
But let's put a link to it on the page so that people can see it, because I think that's
you can just Google it. Go to Amazon and type in boogie board.
They're real, and you might end up buying a giant styrofoam flotation device
but
from
get
the
80s. Big one. Yeah. They make like a smaller one, and they make a big one, and I actually have two. I have another one that sits out with all my photo booth equipment. Because sometimes I have to get stuff from the photo booth equipment that I need, like my laptop, for example, is the same laptop I use in the photo booth, or maybe there's a piece of gear or something from my photo booth that I need to use. And I grab that boogie board, and anything that comes out of that kit, I write it on the boogie board and leave it sitting there.
Yeah,
so that
like
when I go to pack
checklist.
My little checklist is always right there. So instead of having all these pieces of paper everywhere, I just have this erasable board.
Yeah, we should have a conversation about productivity. That's kind of key. But before we do that,
let's talk about what you were so giddy about.
This is funny. We got some activity. We have a lot of activity on the Facebook page lately. I've been really putting good news stories on there, and we got a lot of people interacting with us now on the Facebook page, which is very cool. So this is a couple weeks ago now, but I noticed we got a message from the end of January, back January 25th. One of our listeners, Judy Brunner, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but she posted on the page, now listen to this, So I'm just now listening to the podcast you guys did live from Imaging USA, and Gary starts telling the story about the two women coming up the escalator during pre-con. I know exactly where we are going with this because I was the woman who said, "That's Gary Hughes."
Wow.
LOL. I literally just spit out my coffee laughing this morning. By the way, so glad I could put your ego at rest, Gary. You guys rock. I recognized you in Nashville, too.
Well,
how about
so
that?
It was somebody who recognized you and you're semi-famous.
I feel completely vindicated.
That's right, because you tried to walk it back.
I did.
You were very excited, and then you tried to walk it back, and you said, "Now that I think about it, it might have been somebody that I know." And we were like, "Oh, you know, you're kind of famous."
Moderately famous for like the 12 people that listen to the podcast. But thank you all 12 of you for listening. That's very exciting. I just thought that was really funny. Like, what are the chances? I guess they're pretty good. I guess I just didn't know who it was, but anyway, I thought.
What are the chances that she would talk about it, and then she would hear it, and then she would go to the Facebook page, and it all comes full circle?
If you have a chance encounter with one of the two devastatingly handsome
a chance
hosts
encounter
of the Photobomb podcast, please post about it on our Facebook page and send us an email, questions@photobombpodcast.com.
All right.
And speaking of stuff that's really cool, we have to also talk about our sponsor/partner that we're working with.
Oh, that's right.
It was very cool. Want to mention it again because if you have tuned in by now, we've been promoting this like crazy. So if you have tuned into the show to get the keyword to use at your checkout at lenspal.com to get your 10% off your rental, go ahead and fast forward to minute number 33. No, I'm just kidding. The lenspal.com is a company I've been using forever to rent equipment from and really like them a lot. They're good friends of us and good friends of the show, and they ship anywhere in the U.S., and they are offering our listeners 10% off any rental if you use the code PHOTOBOMB at checkout. So that's pretty cool. That's super useful, and we're very happy to be working with them. We'll be posting about that on the page.
And you've used them before. You've rented from them.
Use them plenty of times. Yeah, they're awesome. They're local to Orlando, but they ship all over the country. So like if you got your eye on a new lens or a new camera that you want to try out, if you want to rent like the 5DS and see what it's like to shoot with 5,000 megapixels, then you know you can do that instead of go out and buy it. So it's a really cool way to get your hands on stuff, or if you book a big job where you need a whole nother setup, it's a good place to rent a camera and lens from to get it done. So, and 10% off is pretty cool. I mean, if renting a camera might be $60 for the day, so you save $6, and that's like 3 PBRs, so that's pretty good.
All right. I feel that it's been several shows now, and I feel that what the show is lacking
mm-hmm.
is just a quick verse.
A girl?
A quick verse, oh. Well, that. But just if you could give us just please a quick verse of Randy Van Dynen,
really
riding on a unicorn.
Just give us a quick.
But I miss it personally.
I'm gonna twist my arm.
I miss it, so I would just
Randy Van Dynen riding on a unicorn, fighting the robot invasion.
Thank you. The robot invasion. For me, the whole joy of the Randy Van Dynen song is what he will be doing in the song, because you come up with something different. There was, sometimes it's zombies. Sometimes it's a robot invasion.
I think
my favorite, of course, was Wheeling the Mighty Excalibur. That was my favorite one.
He might be fighting an alien virus.
Oh,
that
could
be cool.
But Wheeling the Mighty Excalibur was the one that actually made me laugh out loud. That you pulled Wheeling the Mighty Excalibur.
I was listening to that episode from a few weeks ago, and it was the one where you kept trying to talk, and I kept singing over you, and I kept thinking
that
like,
was quality comedy. Right
yeah,
there.
It was. But at the same time, I was like, I could almost hear in your voice like you were rolling with.
Yes.
A bit, but you were actually getting in.
Yes,
like,
there was going to reach a point. You can tell because I said we have to actually ask a question at some point. There was a little bit of annoyance, but at the same time, when I went back and listened to it, that played into the bit.
You put your dad voice on for a second.
I thought it was a good bit. It was a quality bit. Hey, it's good. It's good that you mentioned that because there was something that was brought up in that episode, the one before it, and you can go back. These are Randy Van Dynen episodes that I thought might be something to explore a little bit this week.
Okay,
and. I don't know if it was – no. Way back to PhotoFacts with the Trawick boys, when we were on their podcast, we were talking about – somebody said, what makes a professional photographer? And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that because we were saying, well, you know, because I remember somebody had said, well, just because you're not making a huge living doesn't mean you're not a professional photographer. You know, you're still a professional photographer. And so I wanted to – what does make you a professional photographer? At what point can you call yourself a professional photographer? And who gets to judge that?
Probably if you got a really nice camera.
That's it. All it takes is a nice camera?
No, I mean, I guess it's to me, there you could have a dozen different metrics. Do you have a tax ID? Are you insured? Are you licensed? Or there, you know, there's a ton of different things you could say, and everybody's got their opinion. But there's this almost like pervasive idea among some photographers that you have to make it like most or all of your income from photography in order to be a professional. But the truth is that there have been part-time photographers forever, ever since there's been photography, professional photography. There are photographers like that have had a job during the week that maybe they're a teacher or maybe they're a construction worker or maybe they're a cop or something, and they have a business where they shoot weddings and portraits and stuff on the weekends. But to me, a professional photographer is almost it's almost more about intent than anything else. If you intend to make some or all of your living from photography and are working towards that, if that is your goal, when you have that aspiration, you're aspiring towards being that. I don't know what barrier you cross that you become.
Well, because
a
if you say I'm going to be a professional photographer and you open up your doors today and you have yet to have a client, if someone asks you what do, you say I'm a professional photographer.
Well, you know,
even though you haven't had any clients yet, or you haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can always say that about any profession. Like you got to start somewhere. You got to start about square one, which is actually really cool. Speaking of square one, I was just chatting with someone online. I had a fellow photographer friend of mine who's in my area. And she was saying that she wanted to find out about making a business plan and writing stuff up. And I really got into what resources are out there. Because you and I are both members of Professional Photographers of America, with PPA members. And they provide a crazy amount of resources that most of the membership either doesn't know about or doesn't take advantage of.
Right.
And one of the things I found on their – they have PhotoVision, which is like – which I instructed on PhotoVision like almost 2 years ago. And it was it's basically – it's kind of like a pre-recorded studio tour with photographers all over the country, and they'll do a shoot and they'll basically show you how to do their stuff. It's pretty cool. PhotoVision's been around a long time.
Yeah.
PPA bought it and then made it a benefit of their membership. They also have PPA EDU, which is basically where like – they bring different instructors into the PPA offices in Atlanta, and they'll sort of film them giving a seminar or giving a demonstration in the studio. And there's so much stuff. But it's not just photography. They also have – I found a whole bunch of classes in PPA EDU that are like making a business plan, like what do you need to be a professional? And there's a whole bunch of awesome – like what should you be charging? How do I do my pricing? And there's all that stuff is available as a member benefit of PPA. So if you're a member of PPA, you can log in to the PPA website using your login credentials, and you can go to the PPA EDU section and watch all this stuff. So I was talking to this friend of mine, and I found all these resources for basically how to start a business. So like becoming a professional, there are so many great resources that's provided here as members that I thought was a really cool thing. But there's like everything from accounting to – there is even a class on there like basics of using QuickBooks. Like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, like it goes into
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's all there. I had to look because somebody asked me because, you know, we're always talking about being involved at PPA and like all the stuff that they offer their members. And there's the obvious one, the insurance and the indemnification trust and like the discounts on stuff. But like there was some really killer stuff. They even do blog posts and like have links to resources to like government websites where you can like apply for things and watch training videos on like what you need to be a legal business and all that stuff. And I think that getting legal is really, really important, not just because, like, this is what you're supposed to do, but you're protecting yourself against liability.
Yes, absolutely you're protecting yourself.
And I think that almost all of us who've been in the business a while have had a situation with a client either where you almost or had to go back to, you know, some kind of, like, insurance policy or some kind of contract. And knowing having those ducks in a row is going to make you it's going to make you a lot more legitimate to your clients. And I think that that's super important. But being a professional to me is more about intent than anything else. I know photographers, I don't think the equipment matters. I don't think that the percentage of your income matters. I think it's your intention that matters. You know, it's like I intend to make this a financial enterprise.
Right.
Because that's literally the difference between professional and amateur. I don't think amateur is a bad thing. You know, amateur comes from the word, like the – I think it comes from like a Greek or Latin word that means love.
But don't you think that there's – I mean, if I'm in those shoes, I would always feel weird if, you know, I have a full-time job and I'm a serious hobbyist. And then I also do a couple of gigs, family portraits here and there for my friends and et cetera. I would feel weird saying I'm a professional photographer within earshot of somebody who owned a studio.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a pretty common thing, you know, but I think there's a lot of people dabbling in photography, and I don't think it hurts the industry. I don't think it really matters. You know, somebody's like, hey, well, you know, I have a job. I wait tables, and then, you know, I have a, you know, Nikon, you know, D4 or D3 or D700. Who cares? Like, I've got a camera, and I shoot every once in a while. I'll shoot my friend's kids, and they'll pay me.
Let me talk about PPA again real quick, because this is something that, you know, we joke about. You know, we don't want you and I have joked before and said, you know, we don't want to talk too much about the PPA. It's not a PPA podcast.
It's not.
But, you know, I don't have a problem talking about the PPA, because when you talk about when you look at the PPA, you and I are two guys who had our lives definitely changed.
Sure.
In a number of positive ways by being members of the PPA and by getting involved in
right.
the PPA. Now, we're counselors, both of us counselor. And so I have no problem preaching it. Although, I'm, like you've said, I don't want to be that guy who, you know, suddenly I'm into yoga and now all I do is talk about.
Oh, yeah,
about,
like the CrossFit people.
I talk about yoga. But when you were talking about the thing with PhotoVision, you did a thing for PhotoVision.
Yeah, I did.
I watched it.
Yeah. You watched my PhotoVision?
I watched the one that they when they talked about how you were using backdrops, when you talked about how you're getting backdrops now made that are photo backdrops slightly out of focus, and then you can shoot them and it creates its own depth of field.
Right.
Genius, Gary Hughes.
Oh, thanks.
Genius.
Aww.
That's genius.
Yeah.
I'll say it again in case you didn't follow what I was just saying. Gary will shoot you in the studio with a backdrop that is a photograph that he has had printed on a backdrop slightly out of focus. And so now, no matter what his aperture is, the background is out of focus. It looks like he's shooting outside.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very, very cool idea. And then I watched the one where you worked with a bride. Showed how you shot the bride getting ready.
Right. Yeah.
And it goes back to what you've said before when I came up and spoke to your guild about off-camera flash, and you said that there was something I said in that seminar that you're like, I never thought of that.
Right.
Zoom in the flash head.
Right.
I was watching that, and you're like, I put the bride in front of the window, and I'm like, yeah, I put the bride in front of the window, and I do this, I turn it this way, I'm like, yeah, I do that. And then I flag the dress. What?
Yeah,
and then I take a thing and I put it down here so that the light from the window is not hitting her dress, so the dress doesn't blow out,
yes.
and her face is a little bit brighter, and it brings the eye to the face. And I'm going, "Damn you, Gary Hughes! Why haven't I thought of that?"
Now that's a really interesting concept, because I guess as a wedding photographer, that no matter where you are in your career, you can watch a class from anyone who teaches anything, and they can pick stuff up all the time. You even talked about the productivity app Wunderlist that I use. Like that, I saw Linda and Olin Long teach a class, and they use that to like make their list back and forth with each other, and that's really helped Julie and I's business. And they teach children's photography, and I don't do children's
right.
photography.
Right, has nothing to do with
right?
what you do.
So like one of the things is like somebody like you who shoots, you shoot more weddings in a year than I've shot in the last probably 10, and still, you can see something. They're like, hey, that's a good
right.
idea. And I see guys who have been in the industry that are extremely successful, been in the industry like 30, 35 years, that will go to seminars like at WPPI, at Imaging USA, Shutterfest, wherever. They'll sit on the front row with a notepad just in case there's a great idea. And I see them like, ooh, that works. And then the thing that can give you longevity and that can make you stay successful in this or any business is never getting to the point where you feel like you've got it all figured out. Like if you
right.
reach that plateau where you're like, yeah, man, I'm there, you're immediately not. You're immediately losing ground. Somebody is about to take you over and take your business away from you if you're not careful. And I think that's really important to – we have this – because we're in a creative field, I think we get a lot of creative people who – you have to put yourself out there as an artist, which means you have to put a certain amount of like, you know, ego into your – into your persona, into your brand, you know, like I'm the artist, I know what's best, I'm creating all this great stuff. And so in a way, it's almost an admission of not being as great to say that you have to go to a workshop and stuff
yeah.
like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not one of those people who still needs to learn.
Right.
I'm successful.
Right. What do I need to learn?
What do I need to learn for?
I tell you, the people that I admire the most are also some of the most avid students.
Right.
Even still. And
I don't go to workshops because I'm afraid that I'm going to discover so much stuff that I don't know, and it shatters me. You know, when I go and you're at that rare workshop you go to, and about three things in a row they tell you, and you're like, oh my God, I should have been doing that. Oh, and I call myself a professional. Uninstall the game.
Like when you saw Jerry at Imaging.
Yes, like when I saw Jonas. I hate that guy with a passion. I hate Jerry Jonas. He does everything better than me.
Yeah, well, he does everything better than most everybody. That's yeah. why he is who he is.
Okay, another question.
Talk to me, Goose.
All right, here's the thing. First question, how many people listening to the podcast do you think did not get the reference you just made?
Probably none. Everybody's seen Top Gun.
You think?
Depends on
the... We are talking about a movie that came out in the 1980s.
See, when I picture our audience, I picture mostly like past middle age, kind of heavy.
They don't listen to podcasts.
Pale skin.
Past middle age, they don't know what a podcast is.
No, they're the ones who like stream it on the website because they don't know.
Yeah,
how
because
to
they
use
don't
a mobile
yeah.
device. That's I think our
Bluetooth,
our core.
What is Bluetooth? They don't know what that is.
All right, if you got a Bluetooth, you need to go to the dentist.
Yeah. Okay, home studio. Okay, so you know the old house we were in. I had a studio that was upstairs.
Yeah, you had a great space that was separate from the living area that people could come and go right up there.
It was upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem I always had with that space, and the reason I never really developed it, was because even though it was separate, you had to walk through my house to get to it.
Yeah, into the kitchen even.
And I never liked that.
Right.
So we're looking for another house.
Mm-hmm.
The dream is to have a house where there's actually a separate building on the property.
That's awesome.
That's the dream. Barring that, a place to meet with clients. Like now I meet with clients here at this house, but you walk in the door and you're in the space.
Yeah, there's a little like alcove right. set up right there in the front.
So you're immediately in the space.
Yeah.
And I can meet with clients there, but I can't shoot there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next question becomes, if you have a place in your house and it's big enough to shoot in, and so you'd like to shoot there, can you do that? Should you do that? Is it feasible or a good idea, or is it just too weird if that space is if they have to walk through your house to get into that space? I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. We looked at a house last week.
Okay.
We really love the house. The problem is there's a room. You walk in the front door. That's like a little living room, and then there's the stairs that go up. It's one of those houses where most of the rooms are upstairs.
Okay.
There's like five rooms upstairs,
gotcha.
And one of those rooms is huge, like 20 by 20 with a vaulted ceiling.
That would work for shooting space just fine.
But if someone calls me and says, hey, I need a headshot. Do you have a studio? I feel weird saying, yes, it's my house, A, in a neighborhood, B, and when you get here, I'm going to meet you at the front door and walk you up the stairs and down the hall past my kids' rooms to get to the studio.
It's weird.
Right?
Totally.
So the question becomes...
All you got to do is blindfold people when they get to your house.
But the question becomes...
Like it's all part of the Bouray Perry experience.
Because there's a part of me that says, I would rather have a house without a shooting space... But a space to meet with clients that's right at the door.
Yeah,
than to have a house with a shooting space and a place to meet with clients that's not at the door.
How much do you need a shooting space?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really need a shooting space that much.
But
if I had one, would I then use it?
Yeah.
So the question becomes: Do you give up the having the place by the front door to get a shooting space? Is it worth it, or is it going to be just too weird to have clients? Because listen, I shot in the old space. I quit shooting like the last year in the old space, but there were times that I did. But I always felt weird about it because you don't feel like legitimate.
Don't feel like you're at work even.
Well, I'm walking you through the kitchen. I don't feel like it's a legitimate thing.
Well, here's how I feel about it. I am a big advocate, one, of having my studio separate from my house.
Right.
Huge advocate because especially now that we've got a daughter, she just turned one recently and she's walking and talking and she's like... And first of all, our house is a fucking disaster. Julie and I have always been pretty neat people. Like, we have a little bit of clutter because our house is fairly small, you know. And, you know, the weekend is usually we tidy everything up. We do the floors. Everything looks really nice. And then usually by about Thursday, it's like, we should probably tidy up a little bit. But we've always been pretty neat. Everything's clean. Mostly everything's got a place. But now you got a one-year-old and it's like, oh, well, there's like 400 blocks and dolls everywhere. And it's... Well, fuck it. I'm just going to leave it there because I'm tired. Because
right,
it's 8
tired.
O'clock at night.
And it's going to be like that again tomorrow.
And I need to go to bed, you know. If you have kids, I think that's a game changer. But for me, I'm a huge advocate of my studio being separate from my house, not just because I don't want to have to clean up every time somebody comes over, which is a huge reason to have a separate studio, but because when I'm home, home is home, and I can't work. Like, we don't even have – like, we got our laptops, but my work machine – that I work on at the studio that has on my server with all my files on it, I can't get to my – I can answer emails and stuff, but I can't get to my work
right.
when I'm at home. And that creates really important family time. Like when we're home as a family and I get back from the studio, usually sometime between 5 and 6, unless we've got some kind of big corporate event or shoot or something going on, like I get home, I put my stuff down, and I either like start cooking dinner – or I start playing with my daughter, and then when it's nice. It's family time. Like, Julie's cooking, I'm cooking. We're playing with the baby. We sit on the floor. We play with blocks. You know, we hang out. We sit and we eat dinner, and then we'll play, put the baby to bed. Then we sit on the couch. We talk about our day like that. I would not want to give that up, and it's worth the extra money. And on top of that, my life, my personal life and my work life are separate, whereas we used to have our office in our house. And I got to tell you, when I'm sitting watching TV, and even if it's 9 o'clock at night, all the emails and all of the work and all the processing. Yeah. It's in the back of my brain. Like, you could just go and be working right now.
I get that. I get that.
Now, the main reason I have a separate space, the thing that has been the unintended consequence, is that we have so much more credibility in our community because most photographers do not have a storefront. Most do not. Most photographers are working out of their home. If I had to guess, I'd say it's probably upwards of 60% of photographers are working strictly out of their houses, which is fine. I am totally okay with that. But for me, it's like when somebody gets to drive into a part of town, park into a plaza, into a commercial parking lot, and walk up to a business with my name on the front and walk in, and then they see my PPA member and certified professional photographer stickers. They walk in, all my awards, and I have all my framed work right in there in a lobby, and there's a ding-dong chime, and they walk in the door. It's like it's the experience of going to a business.
I'm sorry, there's a ding-dong chime?
Ding-dong, you go
Would that
in,
be a doorbell?
No, it's a...
Oh, when you open the door, it goes
the chime.
Ding, gotcha.
Beep.
And you, and you feel that's what gives you the respectability is the ding-dong. I just like that you threw in the ding-dong chime as part of your what
My ding-dong gives it respectability. Respect the ding-dong.
Like, it's got a ding-dong chime. There's carpeting and air conditioning.
Yeah, that's going to be the new Photobomb t-shirt is respect the ding-dong.
Respect the ding-dong.
No, but like it's the experience of going to a business. It puts you on a different footing, especially since, though, most of my clients are professionals. And so my clients, I'm not doing a lot of family portraits. You know, most of my clients are there, and it's really, really nice to have that. And not only that, I can do events with other businesses. Right. I can do all kinds of stuff
okay, I get
with
all
that space, and I never have to worry about walking somebody past
I get
my
all
kid's
that.
Bedroom.
I get all that.
Right.
But the question still remains. You're me.
Yeah.
90% of the time when you meet with a client, it's just to meet with a client. It's either a pitch for a wedding or it's to see their image.
Because you're shooting primarily weddings.
Right. Okay.
You don't need a studio space, really.
That's right. So you don't need a studio space, but you feel that if you had a studio space, it would be – I would like a studio space if for no other reason than I can pull my kids up there and shoot a nice picture on Easter.
Yeah.
Okay. So – but the question remains. The choice is between do you figure that – cost is the same, price is the same. You can get a house where there's a little sitting area type living room, formal living room, right when you walk in the door. Most of them do have this. And you can take that room over, put up your artwork, your albums, and all your stuff, and put up your screen.
Like you have
like
now.
Like I have now, maybe a little bit bigger. And this is your space to meet with clients. They walk right in the door, they go right into that space, your space to meet with clients, but you're not going to be able to have a shooting space at all. Or you can have a house, same price, no difference in anything else, where you have that and a shooting space, but it's upstairs.
And you got to go through the house and buy your kids' bedrooms and
well,
stuff
you
like
can
that.
Shut all the doors. You can make that nice. You can clean up the staircase and shut all the doors. You can make it nice. But still, is the act of walking through any of the house, how far does it damage you versus straight in the door and right to the spot? Does it damage you at all?
The problem is, if you have to ask, you know that what the answer is. You know that it's awkward because you're asking me if it's awkward. It's awkward.
Right.
That's, you know what
well,
I mean?
No, well, I'm saying it's, I think I feel it's awkward, but with the client, does the client feel it's awkward?
How would you feel?
Right.
If you're going, let's say you're going to go get, what if you're going to go get something, you need something done. What if you're going
right.
to go get a massage?
Right. You would feel.
What
right.
if you're going to go get a haircut?
Gotcha.
You
okay.
know? And how would you feel going, you drive into a neighborhood, you park in someone's driveway, you walk up to the door, and I'm not saying maybe you have a friend who's a hairstylist.
Gotcha.
And they
I
have
gotcha.
A, they have a place in their house where they cut hair. I'm talking, you find somebody on Google, you call them up, you make an appointment, you drive to their house, you knock on their front door, you walk by, there's their kitchen, and there's their husband making a cup of coffee, and one of their kids are playing in the backyard. Like, come on through, and then you walk through, and then you go into like, how would you feel versus
yeah,
going
I
in get to
get
your hair cut?
Because this is a question when looking at houses, and I think it's a good topic for the podcast, because so many people work from home and they're moving and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do about their business. And it becomes, what are you willing to give up in order to get what you want? I want a shooting space, but am I willing to then give up that? I mean, I would love it if people didn't come to my house at all. But if they're going to come to my house, it's worse if they have to walk through my house.
Absolutely.
So is it worth having the shooting space to have them? Because
it depends on if you're going to use it to expand your business or not.
That's the thing.
So if you want to open up a new area of your business where you're going to be doing professional headshots and portraits and having people come and shoot in there, then it might actually be worth it.
But
I shot
but
out of
again,
my garage
then, how
for
hard,
years.
But how hard is it to open up that side of your business if when they're coming to your house, they're having to walk through your house to get to your studio?
It's not that bad. I had to start that way. Like Julie and I, when we had our business at first, we had a townhome. And we converted – it was a townhome with a detached garage, you know.
The right.
And so people had to walk through the house, out the back door, through the yard, into the door that goes into the garage, and that's where my shooting space was.
And that wasn't just crazy weird when somebody calls you for a headshot?
It was weird, and I hated it, but people didn't seem to mind. They would be a little weird when they get there. Hey, thanks for coming in. We're really excited to have you here in our home studio. Make yourself at home.
You see, in my old space, they never seemed to mind.
But it was just us. We had no kids, we had no pets, we're pretty mm-hmm. neat. So our house was pretty much always clean because there was nobody to mess it up because it was just us. And so the most I had to do was like take my shoes and the pair of socks I just took off and like throw them into the back room, and then nobody would know. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of cleaning up we had to do when a client would come over because it's just us. And so, but usually by the time you get rapport with somebody, you get chatting with them, and then they're comfortable again. But there's definitely a moment.
Right. There's a moment. I feel that no matter how much you shoot and how successful you are, that come to my house and walk through my kitchen to get to my studio is always, it drags you back, and now you've got to work again to get back.
I'm thinking about it. It was worth it to me not to have to think about that. You know,
and right.
people even nowadays are not as much used to going to a photography studio as they used to
right.
be. And so it's kind of a cool thing that I have over people in my area, a lot of people in my area. And you know what? Like we were actually just doing our taxes and looking, making our budget for the next year and stuff. And we're just doing this recently, and we have increased our business like almost 100% since we moved into the studio. Like it's and
well, then it becomes a question of when I start looking at houses. Then it becomes a question of what if instead you bought a house that was $100,000 cheaper and took that $1,000 in mortgage and used it towards
absolutely.
A shooting space.
Absolutely, 100%.
But now you're getting a smaller house.
See, in your business, for me, it would be worth it. I would maybe use it and make a space that you could share with another wedding vendor, like a DJ.
I thought about that
planner.
Too. Yeah, get somebody else. So I can say we're going to share this space.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily. You'd still maybe want it to be your space, but if you get somebody to pay you a couple of $100 to be able to meet their clients there,
right.
you know, and maybe do like a little sublet or something like that, to me would be ideal. I wouldn't share a space with other photographers because.
Right. I actually like working from home though, because I meet so many of my clients after hours, and I just like that right up until the minute the doorbell rings, I can be hanging out with my kids or whatever, and then just walk, answer the door, go in, do my thing with them, and then they walk out, I go right back to it.
You know what you can't do?
I've got to drive down to the office.
You know what you can't do? You can't cook seafood anymore.
No.
Like when you meet your clients, don't
you can't. Well, yeah. And my thing is that I'll forget. I've got a bar mitzvah appointment at noon, and I'll make a big slab of bacon.
Yeah,
and I know when they come to the house, and the house smells like bacon, and I'm like, oh, that probably wasn't a good idea.
No, it's just they're just jealous.
Yeah, because it's just a quite because the dream, of course, is either the separate building or. Like there was one house we looked at a while back, and we actually put an offer on the house, but they had unrealistic ideas of what it was worth, and it's still in the market a year later because it was a house that it had a – at the back end of the house, there was a mother-in-law suite. It was attached, but it had its own bathroom, nice big wood floors, but it was down the side of the house, which is also where the driveway was, and all it would have taken was a path and a door. And you would have a separate door entrance into your studio.
To me, that's
the
dream.
And that's the dream, right?
Right.
That's the dream is to have, it can be either be a detached building or it can be in your house, but have its own door that's easy for the people to get to. So that, I mean, cause then you don't have it at all. It's your, this is my studio, happens to be attached, like the Seavers on, is it Growing Pains?
Yeah.
Where he worked downstairs.
I tell you what, I can.
Or the Huxtables. I know. Listen, I can still mention the Huxtables for the love of God. It was on the air for 10 years. But yeah, his doctor's office was downstairs of his brownstone.
Yeah, I think that's, depending on where you live, it can be normal. Your clients can accept it. It can become part of your brand even, which is fine, And I think even if it's set up right, it can be totally, it can be quaint. It can be cute. It can be interesting, And I can totally understand the desire to want to work from home. Like, for example, like now Julie works from home again because she stays with the baby. And so she's able to split her day between taking care of the baby and like answering emails, returning phone calls. She runs the whole business. The only thing she doesn't do is shoot and process images. I do that, and she does everything else. Mm-hmm. And she does it from home. Like, and for parents who don't want to put their kids in daycare, who want to be home, but they also want to work. That, you know, they, you know, there's a there, I can see why that would be such a cool thing to be able to have.
I just wonder if people, you know, folks listening to the podcast don't run into the same problem we run into when you're looking for a home, and that is that a home that has a good space for shooting, that shooting space is never at the front of the house.
Well, I think
it's always upstairs or at the back of the house. The bonus room, the kid, whatever, is always walking through a cavern.
It's not a bad idea to consider building something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just all ultimately.
But
like,
then you run into the problem of you can't be too unique in your building because then you can't sell it.
Right. Well, the cost of doing business, you're going to be paying something in your business, whether you portion off part of your rent or whether you have a separate space. There is going to be a cost of a place to have your business out of almost for everyone.
Right.
And that's going to be the cost of doing business. So you have to factor that into where you live and how you work. And I think it's just worth it to sort of like pony up and add something on to build something or to buy something a little bigger. Because like you said, if you've got a house with a couple of kids, you're going to have a house. You know, you might be paying $3,000 or $4,000 on your mortgage or $2,000, whatever it is. If you're paying a $2,000 mortgage and for $800 extra, you could get a house that's slightly larger that, you know, has a space where you can work out of.
Right, where it costs you $1,500 a month to rent something and you get no equity.
Absolutely. We're actually going to start looking to purchase a building for our studio.
That's the other dream, is when you can purchase a building that's got like 3 or 4 units in it.
Rent the other couple out.
The other couple pay for your rent.
Yeah, that's our goal. And I think that one of the ways I look at it is, as a photographer and as being self-employed, we don't have a pension plan. We don't have a 401k. You know, we invest some money here, but like a lot of what we're going to be able to have as a retirement vehicle is we need to have multiple different ways that we're going to have income when we decide we don't want the business anymore, when we want to stop working or slow down or whatever. And so having a house, having a property, maybe even having over time, having a second one to rent out, but having a commercial property also that we're paying in equity into the building as having our business and leasing it to ourselves, and also having other spaces you can rent out. It can be a really cool extra.
Oh, absolutely.
Retirement.
Eventually,
vehicle.
When you retire, you pull your shop out of there, rent the whole thing out, and it just sits there and makes money for you.
Absolutely. Because, you know, and it's one of those things where it's, you got to consider, I think that one of the biggest problems I see.
Let me just interrupt real quick.
Yeah.
And say, Bure and Gary are not professional financial analysts, and anything said in the course of this show is merely their advice, and should not be taken. Please consult your lawyer before making any decisions like this.
And it's almost certainly wrong. No, but I think that you have to look at the long term. And the biggest mistake I see a lot of small business owners make when it comes to their businesses is longevity. You're thinking so much about next month and paying next month's bills that you're not thinking about, what are you going to do in 15 years? What are you going to do in 20 years when, yeah, your business is growing, you're paying your bills, but you don't have any retirement? And so, like, if you can expand and create more assets, more mailbox money, more passive income for yourself, then that's an excellent way to be able to retire as a self-employed person. And so that's kind of like why we're doing it and how we're expanding our business. And it's totally worth it. But I also enjoy not working at home. I hate working at home.
I think I wonder about that. Because as we look, trying to find the right house can be so tough. And my problem is trying to find a place to put your studio, to rent a studio space, is tough as well. Because it's always, you got one of two choices, here in Florida at least, and where we live. Yeah. It's either the parks, where they've got like 5 or 6 buildings and there's the doctor's office and all this stuff is right there, which is unbelievably expensive. Like, very nice, but very expensive.
Retail foot traffic.
Right. Well, it's not really retail foot traffic. Well, there's retail foot traffic, which is very expensive.
That's the ridiculous.
And then there's
stuff.
The little parks where it's like a building and each building has 2 tenants in it. And there's like 10 of these buildings in this little industrial park.
Right.
But they're very nice. They're very nicely done. When we had our title company, we had one of the very expensive. Mm-hmm. It was more than our rent on our house. Very expensive. And that's another option. And then it's to go down to there's places that have like warehouse space with an office attached. And that always looks like it's a meth dealer.
Yeah. We're in a flex space like that right now.
So, you know, except at least you're fronting onto a main road.
Well, it is, but at the same time, it's like we're in an industrial area.
Right.
But our business is by appointment. So we're not like, okay, you got business. We've had Melanie Anderson on the show before. She's in the downtown of her area, and there's plenty of other photographers I know, like, you know, even in our area where photographers have really visible retail spaces, and it does really well for them. But for us, the way we've built our business, since we're not doing a lot of like family portraits and stuff, we don't really need to generate a bunch of walk-in traffic. Most of our business comes from referrals, networking, and online.
Like, yeah, but I like your space.
It's a cool space.
Because whenever I find spaces like your space, it's always, oh, it's a warehouse that runs perpendicular to the road. So if people come to your space, they've got to drive around the car that's disabled sitting in that line because there's Bob's body work.
You definitely do not want to hang out around the back of my building.
So it's like that. And they're like, anything you find that is affordable, it's always that's not the image
like
or the brand I want.
It's like a 50-foot high stack of pallets.
Like
three broken trucks.
Like a cyclone fence from 1976 across the back that's covered in weeds and cigarette butts.
A rusted out dumpster with a hole in it. And when you look through it, you can see the trailer park behind me.
A dead hobo.
The body, chunks of dead hitchhiker like piled up into a little corner of the lot there.
Two dogs fighting over a baby. I'm just saying, how long can we keep this up? This is what you find when you find good, cheap industrial space. This is where you're going to find them.
Absolutely. Like a cigarette that never burns out.
A dumpster with a fire that never stops. Yeah, this is what you find. That's what you find for $1,600 a month.
A raccoon wearing an old army jacket.
There you go.
With one eye.
With one eye. I think the one eye is what makes that.
No, but I love the space, but our area is like, it's nice, but it's industrial, and our plaza is nice, like it's a very cool, but we're not like, there's not a bunch of foot traffic, and not a bunch of stuff we got to worry about for our business. It's perfect, and we get a really good deal. You can save a lot of money and get a lot more space for your money going into one of these spaces, but you know, I definitely look around to be picky. You don't want your clients to feel like unsafe when they come to your place.
It's just tough, because when you go look for a retail space, even a small little retail space, it can be $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month for a small little retail space. We're not talking about
like
a place
600 square feet.
Talking about a place next to the grocery store. We're talking about a place that's off the beaten path, and it'll be $2,000 a square month. And with an average mortgage, that's $200,000 on the cost of your house. Do you know how much more house you can buy for $200,000?
Depending on
and
where, a whole
it's
heck of a lot.
Equity.
Yeah.
When you decide to move, you get to make money off of that, unless there's another housing crisis. But that's another condition. But the point is, when I look at something like that and I say I'm going to dump $24,000 a year in rent in this place, and I'm never going to see a penny of that money back again.
Yeah.
That's always a scary, you know. But the benefits are,
well, you are getting value for your money,
because you can make more money because you have the space.
You are getting value for your money. It's not, rent isn't throwing money away.
Yeah. So if you look at it that way, if you say it's going to cost me $24,000 a month to rent this space, but I am going to make an additional $20,000. Let's just, it could be more, but let's just say I'm going to make an additional $20,000
like
a year,
like,
because I have the space. Yeah. You're really only paying $4,000 a year.
Well, it's like saying paying your electricity bills, throwing money away. No, you're getting electricity.
You're getting something for
it. You're getting a building for your business to operate out of. So it's not like you're throwing money away when you're renting something, but when you are owning something, you are technically putting a lot of money back into your own pocket, hopefully, as long as everything goes well.
I feel like I haven't answered my question.
Which is, you should. I would not have a shooting space in my house where someone has to like go by my kids' bedrooms.
Okay. That was basically what I was...
You know that it's weird.
Better to not have a shooting space at all than have that.
Yeah, if your business is doing well without having to expand it.
Right.
And why not just wait and get a space that's going to be perfect for you, to me.
Rent a space.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do.
If that's what you want to do. But
if you're going to do it, jump in with both feet and do it.
Wait. There's going to be another house, you know? Right. I would wait and then wait for that perfect... You know that perfect
house
may
not,
is coming.
Well, you're not yet to buy another house, but... Oh, you're saying wait, don't buy that house, buy another house? Or you're saying you're going to buy another house past the one you're looking to buy now?
If it were me...
Because I don't want to buy another house. That's my whole point. I want to buy a house and be done.
Right. If I wasn't in a hurry... Like, you have a place to live, right?
Right?
If I wasn't in a hurry and what you have now is functioning and I was looking to buy something and you're not super motivated to do it in the next month or two,
no.
I would wait until you find the right spot.
I don't know that we're going to find the right spot is my point. Almost every place you see, if it's got a space big enough for shooting, it's not convenient to the doors.
Uh-huh.
That's my problem. And so I'm having to face this idea that if I can't find the house that's got the separate shooting space outside and I can't find the house that's got separate entrance to a shooting space... Do I give up the shooting space?
Buy something a little smaller, save a few bucks, and then build something on the
property.
Can't
do that if you're in a nice neighborhood.
No, be out in the rural area.
Yeah,
be
then you've got the mess dealer next door and the guy on the other side that mows his grass without a shirt on.
The possum picking his teeth.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
The raccoon in the army jacket with one eye.
You know, you should close down your business, go get a corporate job. Wear khakis every day.
It'd be so easy.
And then after about like 15 years of doing that, then just kill yourself.
Yeah, that's not a plan.
Gary Hughes is not a financial advisor.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up.
We do indeed. But one more time, I'd like to mention our sponsor / partner person is going to be thelenspal.com. Get 10% off any rental shipped anywhere in the United States. just by using the code PHOTOBOMB when you check out.
You can find us online at photobombpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/photobomb. You can find Gary at HughesFioretti.com.
Yes, you can.
You can find me at BlueRayPerry.com. You can send us questions, comments, and concerns at questions@photobombpodcast.com. And we will see you next week.
See you later.